What up, what up, what up? What's going on, beautiful people? Jamari here, and I'd like to welcome you all back, yes, back, to the Nitty Gritty Podcast, where we talk about the people, problems, and politics of America here on anchor.fm/TNG. We are back to the routine on episode number 18. Just a reminder that this podcast is available on all major podcasting platforms, i.e. Google Podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, etc. And what's good, everybody? Good to be here. Good to be back. It's good to have, start doing solo podcasts again. I've been doing a bunch of interviews, and I've enjoyed them, but it's always good to come back to your stomping grounds. I started this podcast a couple years ago, and if you go back then, you'll see that it was just me talking, me doing solo podcasts, no guest. I didn't get my first guest on until like 6 months in, so, I've always done this, so it's good to be back. Best believe there's still going to be more interviews. I'm not going to stop that. But, I know you all miss my voice. So let's get into it, man. Let's get into the topics of the day. For our people, we're going to talk about the new governor of Virginia. Yes, Virginia has a new governor, and his name is Governor Glenn Youngkin. He's been here for a couple weeks, and things have been heating up, if I do say so myself. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. For problems, we're going to talk about the IRS backlog. Now, the IRS is backlogged by millions of unprocessed tax filings from 2021. We're going to figure out why that happened and what are they doing this year to fix it so that the same thing doesn't happen to 2022. And for politics, Virginia, General Assembly is in session. A lot of voting is going on. And we're going to talk about some of the bills that have passed, some of the bills that have been, unfortunately killed. We're going to talk about some bills that were passed last year in 2021 that became effective beginning of this year. So we'll talk about that and what to look forward to this next year and the next couple years, because typically General Assembly sets the budget for the next two fiscal years. So we'll see what's in store for that in Virginia. But enough of me talking. I know y'all tired of me going on and on about it. Let's get into the topics. So Glenn Youngkin, Virginia's newest governor, and a Republican at one at that. Pretty crazy. And I focus on that and I harp on that is because Virginia has been seen to be a more progressive state. And that's been a big shift. You could see the shift over the past decade. I think prior to like early 2000s, Virginia was a relatively Republican state. I think what caused the shift is because a lot of people were moving to the Nova area, Northern Virginia, like Loudoun County, Fairfax, Richmond, and like the Hampton Roads area. Those are very densely populated parts of the state. I think that's what caused the shift. I know that caused a shift in the demographics. Virginia's got a new governor. I think it's pretty interesting, man. Typically, Virginia governors can only serve one four-year term consecutively. So Terry McAuliffe served from 2014 to 2018, I think. Yeah. And then Ralph Northam came around. And then Terry McAuliffe was going to run again. So he can run as many times as he wants. It just can't be consecutively. But we all know he didn't win. Wah, wah, wah. Fun facts about Glenn Youngkin. He is the only governor since Westmoreland Davis, that's the 40th governor of Virginia, to have no background in politics. I'm talking he went to college, went to the private sector, and then boom, politics. A lot of every governor up until that point had some sort of experience in the government, whether it be state or local, national level, working for different bureaucracies like the EPA and so on and so forth. So they had dealings in the government, but Glenn Youngkin does not. He also is 6'7", played ball at Rice University. Bro's tall as can be. I'm not sure if he's the tallest governor. Bro's pretty tall. I've never met him, but 6'7" is pretty tall. But enough about the fun facts. Let's go into who he is. So he's a businessman. His most notable work is working with this company called the Carlyle Group, which is a private equity firm. I think he started there in the 90s, mid to late 90s, moved up the ranks to making it to co-CEO. I'm not sure why they did that. But he ultimately retired in 2020. After he retired, his wife and him found a nonprofit, which is Virginia Ready Initiative, which focuses on connecting unemployed people in Virginia with job training programs and potential employers, which is really cool. You know what I'm saying? That gives a good glimpse of who he is prior to politics. Nothing with the government, literally nothing. I'm not sure if when he was with the Carlyle Group, if they did some dealings with the government, but in terms of individual, hey, I'm here to talk to you about government stuff. From what I've seen, that's not what he's done. After he left Carlyle Group and started the nonprofit, he just dove into politics, announced his candidacy for governor. And if you really think about it, he kind of came out of nowhere. I mean, you got people like Amanda Chase and Kirk Cox. Those are two like really well-known, reputable Republican members in Virginia they got the name recognition. But they have so much more pull, or they have so much more pull than Youngkin. So the question is, though, how do you do it? How did this random guy come out, this underdog, come out of nowhere with no political background, become Virginia's newest governor? Now, I think there's a couple of reasons why he did that. One of the biggest things I think that helped him was because he was a fresh face in this very, very oversaturated environment. Look at Terry McAuliffe, career politician. His whole life is politics. Amanda Chase, I think Kirk Cox, not as long. But these are all career politicians who've been in it for so long. And after what happened with Donald Trump and after what happened with the presidency, from what I've seen, people are kind of tired of career politicians. I think people are becoming more and more politically conscious, which is good, which is great. I think that's what happened. I think that's what kind of started when Donald Trump became president, because it was like, yo, I remember back in 2015 when he didn't win the primaries yet, the Republican primaries, and people were like, yo, who is this guy? He's not going to win. Is that the, you know what I'm saying, the guy from, the Bachelor, not the Bachelor, what show was he in? I don't know. You're Fired. I don't remember the show he was on. The You're Fired guy, he's an actor, and there's no way he's going to become president. Won the primaries. People still didn't care. Primaries weren't that high anyways. You know, there was nobody really. I don't think anybody was really reputable enough to get the nomination other than Trump. I mean, he had the flair that people liked. He stood out from the. He was not a politician, quote unquote. And that's what people kind of fell for. And moving into the general election, going against Hillary Clinton, you know what I'm saying? There was a lot of shit going on back then, man. You had like the Benghazi stuff. A whole bunch of wild stuff. So I think ultimately when Donald Trump became president, people were like, what's going on? And that's when people became more politically conscious. And that's what I really enjoy. Having a well-informed, educated having a dialogue about politics. I think that's the first step. Half the time it's not well educated, and the other half is not well informed. But it's a dialogue, and I'll take that nonetheless. But like I said, Glenn Youngkin has no experience in politics, and he was a businessman. I don't really get it. A lot of people equate businessmen to good leaders. That's not always the case. But I know a lot of people use that as their excuse for voting. Oh, he's a businessman. Oh, he's co-CEO. He private equity firm. He got a nonprofit. Yeah, I mean, that's cool and all, but what else does he bring to the table? What does he know about politics that he can be an effective leader? That's what I'm looking at. You know what I'm saying? You got to have some sort of experience. Yeah, you could bring on an awesome team with different backgrounds, but you as an individual, you're the one that's calling the shots. You're the one that's making the final say. You kind of got to know how things work on that bureaucratic level to know, like, yo, is this the right decision? It may sound sweet. What they're telling me is sounding sweet, but what's the long-term, short-term effect of this? You know what I'm saying? So, but he's still governor nonetheless. And a lot of people, I've noticed a lot of people say that, yo, he was really wealthy. That's why he became governor. Yeah, I mean, my man got bread. He's estimated to be worth over $400 million. So he got some money, and he self-funded his campaign as well. He didn't take a lot of donations from different individuals, so he didn't have to, like, focus on paying people back with promises or whatever. But money does not always win campaigns. Michael Bloomberg is a prime example. Bro's a billionaire. Stayed in the campaign for, like, 60 days, a short period of time, and then dropped out because the money wasn't enough. You got to have that name recognition. You got to have that flair. You got to stand out. You got to sound like you're going to do something. That's what Donald Trump did. And I think the biggest reason why he won the nomination, like I said, it's just my opinion. I think he was able to speak to both sides of the Republican Party, or the Republican Party, Republican Party. My bad, y'all. One take. That's all I'm going to do. When you look at the two different political parties, there's spectrums to it, right? You got the far right. And you got the moderates, and then the far left. Far right meaning, like, I think of, like, Trumpism as the far right. And then you got more moderates who are more understanding and understand how politics works. And then on the other side of the spectrum, you've got really far lefts, like Bernie Sanders and AOC. Those are the far, and then you got more moderates as well. I think Glenn Youngkin, at least in Virginia, he was able to speak to both sides of the Republican spectrum. He was able to, while he didn't encourage the endorsement from Donald Trump, I think that thumbs up from him got that side. And a lot of people saw him as not a diehard Trumper, like some Republicans are. So that's what brought in the other side of the Republican spectrum. Jerry McAuliffe, I ain't gonna hold you. I don't know what side of spectrum he had. He wasn't getting the really, really, really big progressives. He wasn't getting them. I guess he was getting the moderates, but being a moderate is not being a moderate is not gonna get you the election on a state level. Yeah, Bernie Sanders. Joe Biden got it. He's considered a moderate. But the motherfucker lied, okay? He lied. He got a black woman as VP. Let's be real, you know what I'm saying? And he was going against Donald Trump. I'm not trying to say he got it because he wasn't qualified, but motherfuckers didn't have a lot of we didn't have a lot of chewy from back then. I ain't gonna hold you. So if you want to deal with another 4 years of Trump, or you want to I say a different face, but you know, Joe Biden's a career politician. Bro's been in politics since like the 60s. Same thing with Kamala Harris. She was the AG, Attorney General for California. She's always been in politics, you know. So these aren't new faces. It's just the old saying, lesser of two evils. But I think Terry McAuliffe failed, and the Democrats in Virginia failed at being able to speak to the whole party and get a message across that everybody agrees on. I think that's the one thing they failed on. I think voters are really tired of the same song and dance that career politicians bring to the table, like Terry McAuliffe did. You know what I'm saying? His campaign was weak. He did the same thing that happened back in 2016 that Hillary Clinton did. That you don't want that guy to be president. You want me to be president. Okay, that's cool and all. What do you bring to the table? Oh, well, I was governor back. Okay, this is a new era. 2014 is completely different from 2022, okay? Some shit that went flat back then, Vine was out back then. Some of the shit that happened back then, that was like the early Twitter days, not like mid-Twitter days. The shit that flew back then is not going to fly today. So you can't really feed off of what you've done in the past. What do you bring to the table? He was feeding off of the moderate mentality. And I guess they got the moderate voters, but that wasn't... Virginia's a progressive state. You got to realize that, yo. A lot of people want big changes. They want infrastructure changes. People want... green progressive movements helping the environment. Motherfuckers want student loan debt canceled. You know what I'm saying? I feel like if Terry McAuliffe, even if he wasn't gonna do it, if he went up there, like, yo, I'm gonna cancel student loan for all Virginians, he would have got the ticket. Same way that Joe Biden did. Now, the student loans, are they gonna get canceled? Of course not. A couple months ago, my student loans got transferred from Navient. Like, everybody know Navient and Sally Mae. Sally Mae, all that stuff. To a new provider. And I was like, okay, that's kind of weird. Whatever. Maybe like a month ago, Navient got sued by the Department of Education or some wild shit. And they had to pay billions of dollars for predatory lending. Not my loans, though. Because that's not Navient. That's this other subsidy, I guess. I can't remember. What's the name of it? I'm looking at my real quick. But that joint was crazy. I was like, yo, that's lit. Maybe I might have... Nope, because I remember Navient. Aidvantage. I mean, get the fuck out of here, Aidvantage. I got the email. Your loans are now being managed by Aidvantage. I'm like, who is this Aidvantage? Whatever. And then the motherfuckers goddamn... Navient getting goddamn sued by the freaking government for predatory lending. Settlement. I'm looking at the Navient settlement. Let's see. No, they're not forgiving student loans, unfortunately. Here we go. $1.85 billion, more than 400,000 student loan borrowers would get debt relief from Navient. Not me though. I'm not a part of that number. More than 400,000 student loan borrowers will get some debt relief from Navient, according to a $1.85 billion settlement announced Thursday. The deal will settle litigation brought by several state attorney generals that claim that Navient, one of the largest student loan service companies in the U.S., engaged in unfair practices and made predatory loans to students who were unlikely to pay them back. I'm not a part of that number, okay? I'm not a part of it. It is what it is. I plan on paying them off. You know, I got big things I'm trying to get done, so I can't have this shit lingering over me for too long. How long it's going to take me? That's another discussion, but... I think if I've got student loans, I think if Terry McAuliffe would have been like, yo, I'm canceling student loans, he would have got that ticket. But yeah, I think that him being a career politician, using that career, it may have worked in like the 2000s, 90s. It probably would have worked in freaking mid to 2010s, bro. This is a different era. And I like it and I hate it. I like it because, this, like I said before, the same sing and dance that politicians use ain't going to cut it no more. I saw this one ad, a brother down in Mississippi, I believe. Bro, Mississippi, Louisiana, one of those southern states. Bro had a campaign ad. He's running for Congress down there. Bro was sitting in a chair in a grassy plane smoking gas. This shit would not fly 10 years ago. You know what I'm saying? Like that. This is something that's unprecedented. But it's starting dialogues. And it's getting attention. And it's just like, I think that's important. You know what I'm saying? He talked about the statistics about a lot of black people that are incarcerated for non-violent offenses because they had gas on them, stuff like that. And he makes good points, but it's just like that type of mindset, like that mindset of not being afraid to stand for something. Like, that's what I really like about this generation. Like, motherfuckers out here gonna do some shit. If they want something done, they gonna do it, okay? Gen Zs, millennials, we're going to make it happen. All right, believe that. We're going to go against the grain and get shit done. Now, there's some things that I don't like about this generation, and that's how soft motherfuckers are. But, you know what I'm saying? It is what it is. You know, beggars can't be choosers. I'm all for the change. I'm all for the growth, and I'm excited to see what's going to happen with us as we get older and as we start getting into these more higher levels of leadership and governance. Back to, I always get on topic. Yo, rate this podcast 5 stars. Like right now, hey, stop what you're doing. I'm gonna give you 5 minutes, 5 seconds. Rate this podcast 5 stars, please. But I think another thing that helped Glenn Youngkin with his presidency. What's wrong with me today? I think what helped Glenn Youngkin get his governance is that he was personable. I went on, what was the website I went to? I went to Ballotpedia or something like that. And in Ballotpedia, they show, or VPAP, one of those things. And it has like the campaign information, the candidates, like bio and all that stuff. Terry McAuliffe was all in third person, like a politician would be. It was like, let's see. Bro, I got to type up everything, my bad. Virginia. Let's see. Ballotpedia, here we go. For Glenn Youngkin, for Terry McAuliffe, his was all professional. Yes, McAuliffe received a bachelor's degree from the Catholic University of America, law degree from Georgetown. Talked about what he's done. Cool, cool, cool. That sounds sweet. Bro, number one, for Terry McAuliffe, it says biography. So if somebody typed it up, somebody, you know, typed that shit up here. Glenn Youngkin, his joint is a submitted biography. So that's when you go out and use. Now, maybe somebody on his team did that, but his joint says, I'm a homegrown Virginia who has worked in business for 30 years. I'm running for governor to rebuild Virginia into the best place to live, work, and raise a family. If I'm a goddamn blue collar worker and I see that, I'm like, this man speaks to me. This motherfucker's spinning right now. That's something that I would say. I think the biggest thing is just the disconnect that a lot of career politicians have. They think that they can talk sweet, use some big words, and, oh, I'm good, I got the election. That shit's not going to fly. A lot of people are becoming more conscious and are able to see through the bullshit. We're tired of the same song and dance. Completely tired of it. So I'm not surprised that Glenn Youngkin got this. I'm not surprised at all. Now, since he's got it, shit has hit the fan. I'm going to hold you. I think I've done this script over 5 times already because new things are coming out. Like, first day in office, bro wrote 10 executive orders, ranging from canceling CRT, which is not taught in school, by the way. It's in Virginia. Not taught in school. How much is like out crazy stuff? I'm going to look up some of them. My bad, yeah. Executive. But I just think it's crazy. Bro came in and it got to work. You know what I'm saying? The mask mandate, he was like, yo, this is something that the mask mandate is not required. It's something the localities can make a decision on. And I mean, I have no problem with the mask mandate. I have no problem with not wearing. I mean, it's whatever. At least to me, it's just like, and same thing with the vaccination. Like, if you don't want to get vaccinated, you can't force it on people. But if your child gets sick, or if you get sick and you I had a friend of mine, anti-vaccination. Like they, I don't want the government putting a chip in me, da da da. And the reason behind it, I think, is very ignorant, for lack of better terms. It's like, you worried about the government tracking you, but you got an iPhone, you got your location on at all times. Like, I don't get what the, are you worried about the government tracking you, or are you worried about what they're putting inside you? Now, that's a different story. You know, I can definitely understand that. But, like, don't be like, yo, they're tracking me. There's chips in the vine. I'm like, you're not that important, number one. Number two, they're already tracking you, so don't even worry about it. But he was very anti-vaccination, maybe like 3 or 4 months ago, and he got COVID. And I got COVID, but I was vaccinated. You know what I'm saying? Different story. So it was. I want to say it was terrible to me. On a scale from 1 to 10, it's probably like a 5 or 6. I was down maybe 2 or 3 days, you know, had to sweat out the cold, all that good stuff, cough, you know, chills, all that stuff. But, you know, I was down Thursday. Come Sunday, I was back at it, and I was good to go. This man got COVID, down for 2 weeks. I'm talking chills. I'm talking fever 103+. This man can't move. I'm calm. Are you good? This man sound like he on his deathbed. He sounded terrible. Like, it was just like, yo, couldn't eat, lost his sense of taste, smell. Man was like, I can't feel nothing. Like, yo, are you need to go to the ER. Nah, man, I don't trust modern medicine. You don't trust modern medicine? What? These modern viruses gonna kill you then, man. Like, what's going on with you? But he's good now. But it's just like, I mean, you don't have to get a vaccination. Like, yo, he was not required to get a vaccination for his job. He was good, da-da-da. But because he didn't get that vaccination, when he got COVID, the shit hit him a lot harder than it hit me. I think if I didn't have my vaccination, I would have been down bad just like him. So I think the biggest thing is, like, yo, don't force it on these people. Don't, you know, you don't have to. But if they do, in fact, get sick and they're like, oh my God, I'm sick, I need to go. Nah, fuck all that. You on your own, motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Get some soup. What did Joe Rogan say? Get, like, the little shit that you... they give horses to tranquilizers. Drink that shit. You know what I'm saying? If that's going to work, you think it's going to work, go ahead and wild out. But nah, I don't think the mask mandate is a big deal. Or I don't think masks should be required. Same with vaccination. It is what it is. You know, do what you got to do. But I don't know. It gets kind of tricky with that. It gets really tricky with that. But back to these executive orders. Passed 11 on day one. Like I said, one was canceling or stopping ERC. Another was the mask mandate, restores the integrity and confidence to the parole, Virginia Parole Board, whatever that is. Let's see. Chief Transformation Officer, whatever that is. I think the biggest two things was the mask mandate and CRT. These are pretty arbitrary and off the wall. A lot of people hated it. A lot of people hated it. I think some localities are challenging that. It's just gotten worse over the past couple weeks. I mean, he did a speech at the General Assembly. People were calling him, like, racist. And that's the one thing I don't like. It's just, like, you can't just throw around that word racist. Like it's can't. You can't. You know what I'm saying? Because then you're going to look stupid. You really can't do that. It just doesn't make sense, in my opinion. Be smart about how you address somebody, especially in this day and age, because, like, the shit can backfire on you real quick, and it always does. You know what I'm saying? Look at Juicy Smooya. But he lied about getting mugged and getting beat up, but now my boy is exposed. Exposed that guy. So all I can say is, like, watch what you say, man. Like, really watch what you say. We was talking about, yo, rate this podcast. I've been talking about this guy for, what? Oh, that was that? About 30 minutes now. Virginia has a new governor. Hey, I miss doing this. I ain't gonna hold you. Virginia's got a new governor. I'm excited to see what's gonna happen. I'm excited to see him cancel his grocery tax. That was one of his campaign promises. So, Glenn Youngkin, Governor Youngkin, I'm gonna hold you to that. If there's nothing else you do, cancel the grocery tax. # cancel the grocery tax. On to our problems. Now, let's talk about everyone's favorite time of the year. Tax time. It's the time of the year where if you play your cards right and pay too much in taxes, you'll get a nice check from the IRS. Or if you don't pay your taxes, Well, keep an eye out from that tax levy from the IRS, you know what I'm saying? But that's what it is. January 24th marks the start date of the 2022 filing year, but I want to hold your breath on getting your returns anytime soon, because as of December 23rd, 2021, the IRS still has 6 million, with an M, unprocessed individual returns. And at the start of January, it still has more than 2 million, with an M, unprocessed amended tax returns, a separate category. But this is down from the 35 million they had at the close of the end of their last tax filing season. 2020, I don't want to talk about 2020, I ain't gonna hold you. It was chaotic. Motherfuckers was passing bills left and right. Freaking the Fed chair go burr, you know what I'm saying? Jerome Powell. It was insane, okay? So it was wild. And so it makes you wonder. The IRS is a very big, very reputable agency. You think of the IRS, you think of taxes. Why are they backlogged? It doesn't make any sense. But it does. There's a couple of reasons why they're backlogged. And one of them is COVID. A lot of the employees at the IRS had to work from home, as with, you know, a majority of America. And the transition from office to home was rough. I know for me, when I started working, got my new job, I came on maybe 4 months after they made the switch. And the training was it was pretty interesting. I'm still here, you know, I'm still doing good, you know, I love my job, shout out. But, you know, it could have been better if it was in person. That is what it is. So I think COVID played a big role. Budget cuts. I mean, budget cuts is a big one as well. Over the past 10 years, there's been a 20% budget cut over the IRS. Why? I don't fucking know. People are just cutting left and right. When you think of budgets and when governments and companies are strapped with cash, one of the first things they cut is education. Why are they cutting, or not education, like training? Yeah, I guess training and education is hand in hand. Why are they cutting the IRS? Especially when the United States exponentially is growing the population. That's something that you either want to maintain or increase in funding. But, you know, it is what it is. Another big thing is that the IRS's inability to update their systems to implement the new legislation. I know, remember back in 2020, you know, the government passed FFCRA, Families First Credit, blah, 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 Act. And then 2021, the CARES Act, that implemented a whole different range of. And in 2020, the W-4s got switched to a new one. It was just 2020 was freaking crazy. I'm trying to tell you. So, but the IRS didn't have the equipment or the software to process that information. So what they had to do? They had to do it manually. Millions of people. They had to do millions of people's tax returns manually. It's freaking crazy. You know, I'm sure they got like double time, triple time at that. I mean, well, maybe not, because they got 26 budget cuts over the past 10 years, but that's freaking insane. You got people working day in and day night, day in and day out, which is probably what caused them to have 35 million unprocessed tax returns at the end of the 2020 filing year, or the 2021, whatever you want to call it. So those are really the big three reasons why the IRS is backed up. This year, it's a little bit different. So I've read. So one of the biggest things they're doing this year is updating their systems to make sure that they could do a lot of these calculations online. Technology is here. I still don't understand why they couldn't update their systems to accommodate that. I'm not sure if they were in these meetings with a lot of the politicians and a lot of the congressmen and senators, the representatives and senators, when they were passing these laws. It's beyond me, you know what I'm saying? But it doesn't make sense how it seems like they were caught off guard and didn't have to play catch up the whole year of 2020, the whole year of 2021, and they're still playing catch up this year. But they updated their system, so things should go a lot smoother. They definitely encourage people to file electronically and choose direct deposit rather than paper filing and asking for a check. It's 2022, yo. People are still sending in their tax returns manually, like, I'm talking mail, lick the envelope, put the stamp and send it off, and requesting their thing sent as a check. No. Direct deposit, file it electronically. There's a big emphasis as well on reporting correctly to avoiding delays, especially those who receive that child tax credit. You know what I'm saying? At one point, the child tax credit was like, you only get it during every quarter, like at the end of the year, during your filing time period. Now they got like, people with kids can get them every month or every 2 weeks, something like that. So it made it a little bit easier. for people with kids. So I think that this year is going to be a lot different. I think the biggest thing is they update their system. That's too many people to do manually. And it causes, it draws concern because it's like, damn, was my joint processed right? I'm a part of this 503C, this nonprofit, and we filed the 503 paperwork last year, like early 2021. We didn't get it back. The IRS didn't send like the approval until like the beginning of this year. It took a year to process a 503C because that's how backed up they are. Excuse me. Oh, my bad, y'all. Let me get a swig of this water real quick. I can find her. How y'all doing, man? Whew, my bad, y'all. So, yeah, the IRS is backed up, has made great progress, but I think by the end of this filing year, like I said, the end of the filing year is like, technically it's like April something, but if you ask for an extension, you can file up until like October, and you can always do amended filings, W-2Cs, all that stuff, so they say that to like make sure that you try to stick to a schedule, but people don't stick to a schedule. Shit happens, so I think that if you're looking, there may be some delays. Like there were delays last year. If you ask for a check, I guess. If you still do that, what is this? The 90s or something like that? But I think this year is going to be a lot easier. I'm hoping. Fingers crossed, because I paid a lot of taxes this year. I got to modify my W-4 so they can start taking out my taxes out there in a year. So I'm not tempted to buy a freaking Camaro or something. And finally, we are at politics. Now, like I said before, we got a couple of different laws that have passed in Virginia that became effective in 2022, Jan 1. One is being House Bill 2250, which is ending the cosmetic testing on animals. I mean, a lot of these are very, like, you don't expect, like, some weird, like, House Bill 2198, district or ward-based residency required for local elections. Like, okay, I mean, it's just a lot of, like, really random stuff. I don't know. It begs the question, like, who's asking for this? Like, there's obviously some intentions behind it, but who's asking for that? There's some big ones, though. You know what I'm saying? Minimum wage increase to 11 bones. That was a Senate Bill 7. Got increased. So if you were working minimum wage, you are now making $11. Shout out to you. Go ahead and secure that back. Another one is that Senate Bill 1428, the ABC ending sale of most low alcohol beverages. So I think the alcohol, the drink has I think they have a minimum alcohol percentage level that they can sell in Virginia. Number one, ABC is a freaking monopoly. I don't care what nobody says. And I thought monopolies were illegal in the United States, but I'm not going to talk about that. But if the alcoholic beverage is lower than a certain amount, they can't sell it. I don't know why. Obviously, you know who lobbied for that. You know, that makes sense. Another one is requirement of prescription drug price transparency. I like that because what was that one drug company? The dude increased the price of the drug, like a life-saving drug, from like $40 to like $600. He recently got sued. I think he got sued recently, had to pay back like millions of dollars for scalping folks. But I think that's in reference to. So, I mean, those are some of the bills. I mean, there's some more, but man, who wants nobody's bills, man? We don't care about that. We care about the bills that are going to be potential for this upcoming one. So they got a couple of ones that are up here. A lot of them are in reference to COVID. Some are just kind of random, like this House Joint Bill 136 designates the week of March 12th and each succeeding year as Girl Scouts Week. I mean, we all know who lobbied for that. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just kind of weird. There's also some that are in reference to guns. House Bill 26 removes the authority for a locality by ordinance to prohibit the possession or carrying a firearm, ammunition, and munitions or components or any combination thereof in any building or part thereof owned or used by any locality. I mean, you got some really random ones. Give me 1 second, y'all. Text my girlfriend. Probably order cheese. There's thousands, literally thousands of bills that are out there. There's not any I'm really looking forward to in particular. I'm looking forward to Governor Youngkin canceling this grocery tax. I buy groceries like every 2 weeks. I spend some good money on these groceries, okay? So I need Glenn, look out for your boy. I need to make sure my money looking right. Make sure I'm eating, you know what I'm saying? Make sure I'm getting these gains. But that's really it. I mean, there's nothing. Sessions typically 60 days, 2 months. I'm hoping for some big things to happen. I was looking through all the different pieces of legislation that are being presented and introduced. It's just random stuff, like off the wall random stuff. Some things are being looked at over again, like the minimum wage thing. I think a lot of House and state senator Republicans don't want it to increase as fast, because I think after this year, it goes up to 13, and then it has to get basically amended in 2023 to have it increase to like 15 in 2024 or something like that. So they don't want it to go up to 20. They don't want to go up to any higher than $11. They want to bring it back down. It's pretty messed up, very messed up. But you know what I'm saying? We'll see what happens. But I'm excited though. I'm excited to see what happens in the next couple of months. And yeah, I'm at the end of my show notes, man. My show notes are all over the place right now, but I love it. I love it. Thank you all for listening to the Nitty Gritty Podcast, episode 18. Do not forget, this podcast is available on all major podcasting platforms, i.e. Google Podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, etc. You know, Black Men Mondays. Hey, oh, motherfucker. Happy Black History Month. Yo, what's wrong with me? Happy Black History Month, man. Hey, I'm going to put some Black History Month. I'm a nut for not remembering to do that, yo. It's February 1st. What am I doing, man? Come on now. Happy Black History Month. You know what I'm saying? Black women are beautiful. But let me refocus. Black women are beautiful. But let me refocus. But on a serious note, you know, Black Men Mondays, every Monday. So the 7th, we're going to talk about some cool stuff. Next week, I got an interview. One of my homeboys in the powerlifting communities. He hopped on the pod. We talked a bit. Talked like 40, 45 minutes. Fitness game. So if you're really into fitness, if you're really trying to get your health right, if health is wealth, come on the show. He's going to drop some tips. If you're trying to get into competitive lifting, tune in. He's going to drop some tips to make sure that y'all know what's going on. You know what I'm saying? Because like I said, health is wealth. You got to make sure your health is good. You know what I'm saying? So, hey, I'm done ranting. My baby calling me. I got to make sure I got to attend to my knees. You know what I mean? Thank you for tuning in to the Nitty Gritty Podcast. Y'all be easy.